This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruch Mabom, welcome everyone. The Shurim on Sefer Devarim are sponsored by Dr. Zakheim, Umeshpachta, Lili Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov, Shamasham and Aliyah, B'Yomel Tzioshev for their whole family, Abiyas Goel Tzedek. Tonight's shir is sponsored by our good friend Rabbi Eliezer Jacobowitz as a zuchus for a shidduch for Mordechai Yechezkel ben Necha Devaira. Should find his zivug hagon b'karoiv. Also sponsored by our dear friend Rabbi Avram Kesherim Lili Nishmas, his mother Zivar Bat Rachel Kesherim Tehei Nishmas Tzurub Tzarachai Megan Eden Tehei Menuchasa Shemilitza Yishara for their whole family. And also sponsored anonymously in honor of an anonymous Rav whose birthday is today. Okay, thank you very much. And we continue in our Shurim on Sefer Devarim. This week, of course, is Parshas Va'eschanan, and it is known by the special appellation of Shabbos Nachamu. Let's begin with the following observation. In Parshas Va'eschanan, we read, it's a very important reading. There are a lot of highlights in Parshas Va'eschanan. It happens to be my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. And one of the big highlights of Va'eschanan is the Aseret HaDibros. So we read about Kabbalas HaTorah in Parshas Va'eschanan. And that is certainly worthy of note. Why is it that immediately after Tisha B'Av we read about Kabbalas HaTorah? Here it is, we just fasted. And we had 3 weeks of mourning, and all of a sudden, we read about Kabbalas HaTorah. Why Kabbalas HaTorah come in the aftermath of Tisha B'Av? So the Avodas Yisrael, the Kuznetzer Magid, he says as follows. Kuznetzer Magid says that on Tisha B'Av, you weren't able to learn. So we had, so to speak, a break from learning. We had a severance from learning. We couldn't learn. So because we couldn't learn, and because we had this break, immediately after, we have to come back and renew our commitment to the Torah. We have a new Kabbalas HaTorah. Hence, we have the Aseret HaDibros in the immediate aftermath of Tisha B'Av. So we sort of re-energize our dedication to the Torah, and we read about Kabbalas HaTorah.
But you're making it sound like Parshas Va'eschanan was placed here specifically, whereas Tisha B'Av just, you know, just happened.
Right, so Tisha B'Av, you're saying it came after?
Yeah.
Right, so the idea being, this idea is based on the principle that Devarim Gedoilim Einam B'Mikra. Big things are never coincidental. So if divine providence had it, that things were orchestrated in this way, we have a right to examine why did the divine hand have it that the Aseret HaDibros should be read after Tisha B'Av, and we're trying to give an explanation. Okay, so let's try to investigate another approach. We're going to begin with the comments of the Sefer Yosef Oimetz, which is a collection of Minhagim and Dinim of the German community in Frankfurt, of Harab Yosef Yuzfa Han. Han is a German name. And he says as follows. He says, after the 9th and the 10th of the month of Av, in other words, after the 9th and the 10th of the month, forget about the Chorban. You have to move on. You have to get over it. You have to move on with your life. The Yizkol and Achama, you have to remember the consolation. To the point where the Marshal writes the following psak. There are some people that are careful not only not to eat meat in the 9 days, but they don't eat meat and they don't drink wine for the entirety of the 3 weeks. There's such a custom as Brun Shulchan Aruch. However, the Marshal says that it is not correct to extend that custom after the 10th. And if one does so, it is wrong, and you don't even have to be matur neder. In other words, if this is your custom, you go, let's say, 4 weeks, or whatever your custom is. If somebody goes beyond the 3 weeks, they don't even have to be matur neder. One can sort of break this practice without any need whatsoever to be matur. Because it's wrong, it's incorrect. You're not to accustom yourself in more Avelos then is legislated. In fact, the Yosef Oimetz says that a proof to this, and even though the words of the Marshal do not need chizuk, is that there's an early custom, get a load of this, that mincha time on Tisha B'Av, women would go into the shower and take a shower on Tisha B'Av after midday. Why? Because Mashiach is born, Menachem is born on Tisha B'Av, and to commemorate that, women would bathe and clean their head on Tisha B'Av. Why? He says, just like we're obligated to make a zecher to the Chorban and to the Avelos, we likewise have to make a zecher to the Redeemer and to the Consoler, so that we don't give up hope from Geula. So the Kolboy brings an amazing minhag, and I don't think this is in practice today, nor do I think this would ever fly, but there was an ancient custom among Klal Yisrael that the women would bathe and wash their heads from Tisha B'Av afternoon and on. From here we see that practicing Avelos after the Zman is also, you cannot extend the Avelos whatsoever beyond the Zman. Even though, again, this particular example is only for women, this particular example is given for Nashim, nevertheless, it's a principle that we learn from here that once the Zman is over, one has to forget about the Avelos and has to move on and think about the Nechama and the Geula. And therefore, the Yosef Oimetz says, furthermore, he says, because of this, we call the Shabbos after Tisha B'Av Shabbos Nachamu. Why? Because named after the Haftarah, of course. The Haftarah is Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. That's the best Haftarah of the year. First is my Bar Mitzvah Haftarah. And even besides that, it's one of the only weeks of the year the whole Shabbos is named after the Haftarah. When else do we call the Shabbos after Haftarah? We have Shabbos Chazayin and Shabbos Shuva, but it's not a common phenomenon, and therefore says Yosef Oimetz, umarbin boy bepiyut uvezimra. You should sing more on the Shabbos. You should say more piyutim on the Shabbos, and you should enjoy and rejoice in this Shabbos more than any Shabbos the whole year. He writes, veroy lehisanig boy yosem yibeshah Shabbos hashana. And likewise, he quotes the Ibn Shva'ib, that it's a mitzvah to make this Shabbos like a Yom Tov. Very interesting. So Shabbos Nachamu is not just a tourist trap to get people to go up to the Catskills and buy tickets to a concert, but Shabbos Nachamu, Mekoroi, Yisudasai, Baharei, Kodesh, that it's based on the early writings of the Yosef Oimetz, that one should enjoy and rejoice in the Shabbos more than any other Shabbos during the year, should sing more, be misanig in the Shabbos, and from here we see that once the Avelis is over, you can't extend it, you can't say, oh, I want to be a big tzaddik, I'm going to mourn Yerushalayim an additional week. Once the Avelis is over, it's over. So that's an important thing. So one thing we have to think about is, we have the Shabbos called Shabbos Nachamu, what is the Nechama? What is the consolation? We had 3 weeks. We commemorated the destruction of the first temple. We commemorated the destruction of the second temple. We, over the course of Tisha B'Av, we said 45 kinnis. We spoke about various murders and massacres and disasters. Okay, oh, it's over! Okay, it's over. But what exactly is the consolation? So, oh, the consolation is, the Navi Yeshaya says, Nachamu, Nachamu, console, console! So imagine somebody goes into a shiva house and the mourners are sitting on the floor and they're crying and they're mourning and they're weeping and somebody comes in, console, console. They'll kick him out. What kind of nonsense is that? What's the consolation? What do you mean, console, console? What is the nechama? And what's even more interesting is that there's another quasi Yom Tov around this time of the year. What other occasion do we have around this time of the year? We have something called Tu B'Av, which interestingly happens to come out on Shabbos this year as well. And the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah on Tainis Chavavam Abeis. The Mishnah says, Amar Rav Shem Gamliel, Lo yahayu yamim toivim li Yisrael kechamisha asar ba'av l'chiyam ha-kippurim. The two happiest days of the year were Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. And the Gemara wants to know, what happened on Tu B'Av? What's so joyous about Tu B'Av? And the Gemara gives a whole list of things that occurred on Tu B'Av. Number one, until then the Shvatim were not allowed to marry into each other, and then they said, okay, Binyamin could marry into Zvulun. And Zvulun could marry God, and God could marry Yosef. So now everyone could marry together. which I don't know. I'm not sure how joyous that would be. It used to be, if you had a wedding, it wasn't, you know, if you lived in Binyamin, you had a wedding by Binyamin, if you lived, the wedding, good. Now people have to schlep to Lakewood, they have to schlep to the Eilat, to Carmel, to Tzfat, they have to go all over Eretz Yisrael. So I'm not sure if everybody considered that a simcha, but I guess I would have been outvoted. But the Gemara says it was a very joyous day that the Shvatim were allowed to marry one into the other. And then the Gemara brings another opinion, that after the Pilegesh Begiva, after that episode, they made a rule, you can't marry Shevet Binyamin. They're bad. And they let that rule go, and from now on the Shvatim are allowed to marry into Shevet Binyamin. And then the Gemara says that those who were slayed at Beitar were given to Kvura, they were buried on Tu B'Av. And then the Gemara says that when Yeravam ben Nevat stopped the Jews from being Oilei Regel, from going to Shalayim, that was abolished on Tu B'Av. And then the Gemara says that in the Midbar, we know that because of the Chet HaMeraglim, every year 15,000 Jews died. So if 15,000 Jews, they would dig their own graves on Tisha B'Av. They would go and lie in the grave. So the first year, 600,000 Jews dug graves. They dug mass graves. And then they all went to sleep in their graves. And in the morning, 15,000 Jews didn't wake up. So if you have 600,000 Jews and 15,000 die a year, how long is it going to take for everyone to die out? A little math, 600,000 divided by 15,000 is 40. It takes 40 years. So in year one, 15,000 Jews died. In year two, 15,000 Jews died. In year three. And finally, in year 40, you have 15,000 Jews left, and they all went into their graves. And you know, other years, if you're a betting man, you could say, okay, hopefully I'll wake up in the morning. But in year 40, when there are only 15,000 Jews left, the chances aren't that good. And it is suggested that, you know, every other year, 15,000 Jews died, because people davened. But in the back of their head, they didn't daven so hard because, you know, maybe it's not them. In the final year, when they knew it was then, they really davened and their tefillos were accepted. So you see from here, when a person davens, you got to daven with your back up against the wall. Okay. Anyway, interestingly, all these occurrences happen on Tu B'Av. Do any of them have anything to do with Shabbos Nachamu? No, nothing at all. By the way, another thing that happened on Tu B'Av is that every day they cut wood for the Mizbeach. And on Tu B'Av, the sun gets a little weaker. Did you notice on Tu B'Av? That's when the summer starts to end. The sun gets a little weaker, and the wood would not be as dry. The rest of the summer, the wood is drying out in the sun. If the wood isn't dry, it could contain moisture, and it could get wormy, and you can't use that wood on the Mizbeach. From Tu B'Av and on, they stopped chopping wood for the Mizbeach. And the Rashbam explains that whenever you finish doing a mitzvah, you make a siyum. This is the source of making a siyum when you finish a masechta. And these are all the various things that happened on Tu B'Av. Comes the Ritva, and the Ritva says, because Tu B'Av is such an amazing holiday, look at number 5, Umibnei Zeh, Noagu Lasoi Suda B'Shabbos Shalachar Tisha B'Av. For this reason, on Shabbos Nachamu, you should make a big Suda to celebrate the joyous occasion of Tu B'Av. So now, listen to this. All of the Simcha of Tu B'Av is being relocated to Shabbos Nachamu, the Ritva says. This is another source to rejoice on Shabbos Nachamu. All the 6 reasons to rejoice on Tu B'Av are now being repositioned to Shabbos Nachamu. So there are a few questions here. These questions are raised by Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lakewood, in the Sefer Yoreach Lemoyadim. Question number 1 is, why in the world would you celebrate Tu B'Av on Shabbos Nachamu? Since when in Judaism do we take a calendar date and move the Simcha to Shabbos? Purim, we say, Haman tried to kill us, God saved us, so we'll celebrate the following Shabbos. Or Hanukkah, Syrian Greeks tried to take away mitzvahs, so we'll celebrate on Shabbos. Or Passover, God jumped over our house, so we'll celebrate on Shabbos. We never celebrate anything on Shabbos. Okay, one out of 30 is an exception. And the Torah asks, since when do we celebrate anything on Shabbos? And the Torah gives various answers. All the Mefarshim deal with that question. Why is the miracle of Hashem saving us from the Egyptians who try to kill us for shechting their God, why is it moved to Shabbos? One answer given is because it happened on Yud Nisan, but Yud Nisan is the yard site of Miriam Hanaviyah, so they couldn't celebrate on Yud Nisan, so they had to move it to Shabbos. Or another answer is, on Yud Nisan, Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden, so somebody mistakenly may think it's for the splitting of the Yarden, so they moved it to Shabbos. But in general, why would the celebration on Tu B'Av be moved to Shabbos? We don't move things to Shabbos. Especially, the joy of Shabbos Nachamu is that Hashem is consoling us over the Churban, and the joy of Tu B'Av is for one of those six reasons the Gemara mentioned, that the Shvatim can marry into each other, or that we can marry into Shevet Binyamin, or the Meisei Midbar stopped dying, or we were able to be other regular. The two have nothing to do with each other. What does the Simcha of Tu B'Av got to do with Shabbos Nachamu? Furthermore, you'll say, well, Shabbos Nachamu is the Shabbos of the week of Tu B'Av. No, it's not. Sometimes Tu B'Av comes out after Shabbos Nachamu. Sometimes it comes out before Shabbos Nachamu. So Shabbos Nachum is not always the Shabbos of Tu B'Av. Sometimes Parshas Ekev is the Shabbos of Tu B'Av. Why always move it to Shabbos Nachum? So let's deal with the following question. What exactly is the Nechama of Shabbos Nachum? Nachamu, Nachamu Amui. Console, console my people. What's the consolation? God says, console, console. What is the consolation? So the Sfasemes quotes a Medrash. The Medrash tells us that the consolation of Klal Yisrael, V'divrei Toira Heim Nichumim La'olam L'bnei Yisrael. The words of Torah are always the consolation for Klal Yisrael. The Divrei Toira are always the consolation for the Jewish people. In other words, says the Sfasemes, the Nechama of Klal Yisrael is the Torah. Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. What does that mean exactly? The Torah is the consolation for the Jewish people. Get a load of this. Check this out. Take a look at number 9 in Parashas Kisisa. Vayomer hinei anochi kareis bris. And he said, behold, I am going to seal a covenant. Behold, I am going to seal a covenant. What exactly does that mean? Hine anochi kareis bris. And the pasuk continues. Neged kol amecha esenifla'ois. Opposite all of your people, I will do wonders. Asher lo nivru v'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'goyim. That were not created in the land and among all the goyim. V'ra'a chol ha'am. All the nation will see. Ki ata b'kirboi. That Hashem is with us. Esmaseh Hashem kinayrahu. So here God is promising, I'm sealing a deal with you. I'm sealing a covenant with you. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make miracles the likes of which the world has never seen. God is promising, He will perform miracles for us greater than any miracle that was ever performed. So the Ramban is troubled. What exactly are these miracles that God is promising that He's going to do for us that are greater than any miracles that He ever performed? This is after Yetzias Mitzrayim. No miracle has happened after Yetzias Mitzrayim that was greater than the Exodus. And here God is promising, I am going to perform miracles for you greater than anything you've ever seen. Look at the words of the Ramban. The Ramban says, V'lo yitachin lefarish. It's not possible to explain she'avtiach, that Hashem is promising, lasois im Yisrael, Ata, to do with the Jewish people, miracles. Asher loy nivru mekom, that now were created before, of v'chol ha'aretz v'chol ha'goyim. Ki loy nasalem neflois gadois achri zayosim asher nasimam mitchila. God did not do any greater miracles than He did with them originally, b'mitzrayim v'alayam. Avol nivru v'nasimam mitchila. Yosim gadois. Originally God did bigger miracles. The miracles of Mitzrayim were much greater. So what exactly are these miracles that God is promising that He's going to do with the Jewish people? God never did miracles greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim. Says Rabbi Yerucham Olshin, who we had the chus to meet many times, and he has a fantastic svarim. And the Oirach Rashi is my good friend Reb Moshe Gruen. Reb Yeruchim Oshin said he once heard an explanation to answer the Ramban's question from Maron Hagoyin Reb Shach, Reb Shiva Panovich. What exactly are these miracles that God is promising He'll do for the Jewish people, greater than all the miracles of Mitzrayim? And Reb Shach answered with the well-known words of Reb Yaakov Emden. These perhaps are the most iconic words ever written in the last 500 years. Take a look at number 13. Reb Yaakov Emden writes the immortal words, and we've quoted this many times in another context. Says Reb Yaakov Emden, Ve'eich lo yevoish ha-koyfer b'hashkoch ha-v'yamoid nichlam. How can the heretic not be embarrassed and stand ashamed? Mishaya'ayin b'yichud in yoneinu ma'amadinu ba'olam. Someone who analyzes the state of the Jewish people in the world. The heretic has to be ashamed. Anachnu ha'uma ha-goyla. We, the exiled nation. Se pezura, the scattered sheep. After everything that has passed upon us, mehatzorois, from the tragedies, vehatmurois, and the suffering, alafim me'ashanim, for thousands of years. Ve'ein uma ba'olam nirdefes kamaynu. There is no nation in the world that has been chased and hounded more than us. Ma'rabim ha'yutzarenu, how great were our torments. Ma'otzmu nasarosh, ha'komam aleinu minoreinu, how great and powerful are those who stand against us from our youth. La'hashmideinu, to try to destroy us. La'akreinu, to uproot us. L'sharshenu, b'nei asina shesibasa akinarav sararunu, because of their hatred that stems from jealousy. How powerful were the nations that have tried to destroy us. The Roman Empire, the Greek Empire, the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, all the great empires of antiquity, how powerful they were. We weren't even a hundredth of their power and their prominence. They were not able to destroy us. And where are they? Where are they? Where's Nebuchadnezzar now? Where is Titus now, Vespasian now? Herod, where are these people? Where is their empire? They're relics of the past. They're down. They're dead. You want to see a relic of the Roman Empire? You could go to the British Museum, and there you will find a shard of pottery that, according to some bogus interpretation of an archaeologist, this handle of this coffee cup was used in the times of the Roman Empire. That's the Holy Roman Empire today. They're on display in museums around the world. You could pay money to watch their earthenware kalem in glass with light shining down on it. That's where they are today. All these powerful empires that try to destroy us. Sart Silam, their power has departed. And how about us? Anu Devekim Bashem Kulanu Chayim Ayoim. We're still around. We're alive and kicking. We get up in the morning and we still wash Nagelwasser. And then we run to shul and we put on talus. And the talus looks the same way it did 3,300 years ago. And we put on tefillin. And if the Baal Koire dares to make and mispronounce one word, he will be lynched by a dozen people who want his head, because he, instead of saying Vayoymer, he said Vayoymar. And if he does it again, they'll never ask him to get up there. And if the Baal Koire runs over one tipcha, if there's somebody in the crowd that actually knows the halacha, they wouldn't let him lean again, because the Mishnah Berurah says, if you jump over one kama, machzira noisai. That's where we are, safeguarding the minutia of every aspect of our observance. Loi nifka mimenu b'chol toikev arichos v'asen afilos ois. Not one iota is missing and throughout the length of our galus. Mark Twain wrote a famous article about what is the secret of the immortality of the Jew, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes it much more forcefully. He says, "Ma yana b'zeh filoisiv charef, What will the sharp philosopher answer to this? Hayat ha-mikra asasa kalela. Will happenstance and coincidence explain how all the mighty empires that try to destroy us, and they conquered the world, they conquered the globe, and they're relics of the past, and we, the smallest nation, a nation of sheep, sep, pizura, we're still alive and kicking. We have institutions with thousands of students that safeguard the detail of every halacha. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Chai nafshi, I swear, ki b'hisboineni b'nefloi seila, when I think about these wonders, gadlu etzli yoiser mikol nisim v'neflois, they're greater than all the wonders and miracles sha'asa Hashem Yisbarach la v'yisinu b'mitzrayim that God performed for our forefathers in Egypt uv'amidbar uv'eretz Yisrael. The miracle of the glory of Jewish eternity is a greater miracle than the miracles that God performed for us in Egypt. The fact that you could come to a shul today and turn around and there's a Jew sitting next to you and he's not in a museum, which do you think would more likely be in a museum? A bust of Homer, Plato, or a Jew? You know, the reason why Hitler didn't destroy many cemeteries in Germany is he wanted there to be a museum that there was something called a Jew. So which is more likely for there to be a museum? They should have, what's more or less likely? That there should be a stuffed Jew in a museum? Or that Hitler's bunker today should be a museum? The fact that all of our tormentors are relics of the past, they're destroyed, all they are items and products in a museum, and we're alive and kicking, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, this is a greater miracle than all the miracles that God performed for the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, in Eretz Yisrael. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, the longer the galus takes, the more miraculous this miracle becomes. Every day we're still around, this miracle becomes greater, is magnified and compounds. Says Maran HaRabshach, you know what the miracle that God is telling the Jewish people? I'm making a covenant with you, and I'm going to make a miracle for you. Asher, he called, Neged kol amcha es and neflois. Opposite your people, I will make wonders, asher loy nivru v'chol ha'aretz, that were never created. God is promising He's going to make a miracle for us greater than all the miracles of Mitzrayim. What is this miracle that God is promising that is greater than the miracles of Mitzrayim? The answer is, says Rav Shach, it is the miracle of the eternity of the Jewish people. That's the miracle that God refers to when He says, I'm making a deal with you and a covenant with you, and I'm going to make miracles for you greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, Rav Shach added, there is another miracle that is likewise greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not only the eternity of the Jewish people, another miracle that surpasses in magnitude the miracle of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a miracle of the continued survival and existence of our Torah. The fact that after 3,300 years, every word of the Sefer Torah is exactly the same as it was. Every letter is exactly the same as it was. And if somebody would try to take a Sefer Torah, and there would be one letter missing or spelled incorrectly, they would take it, they would wrap it up, and they would put it back. The fact that our Torah today is the exact same Torah as it was 3,300 years ago. And every mitzvah we do has survived, and we continue to observe it. What is the likelihood that the Jewish people, the people who have been hounded, persecuted, murdered, harassed, chased out of every country we've ever been in, still observe every single detail of the law to its minutia? That is likewise a greater miracle than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is also Rav Shach added, and Rabbi Yerucham Oshin says, if you look carefully at the words of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he says this as well on the 6th line. Loi nifkad mimenu. It is not missing from us. B'chol toikef arichus galusenu. Throughout the terribly disastrous long exile, afilu ois. One letter! We're not even missing one letter! Is there any nation of antiquity that could say, we have the exact same document to the T of 3,300 years ago? It's unheard of, it's impossible. Not only that, every Nakuda, every one of the 613 mitzvahs is still observed as punctiliously for thousands of years as it once was. Mitar Shebechsav, every gezerah of the Chachamim, nothing is missing. Time did not take any effect on it. That is also a greater miracle. The eternity of the Torah is a greater miracle than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. By the way, ironically, you know who else makes this point? That the greatest miracle in the history of the world is the continuous existence of the Torah. Look at number 14, Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz in the Aras Tavash. He says, the main galus that we're in is our loss of Torah. Iker nechamaseinu, and our main nechama, consolation, nachamu, is ki Hashem hisher lanu sarid, that God has left for us a remnant, asher lo yishachachnu ze meshech zman rav mitzvoysa v'sayrasa. We have not forgotten His mitzvos, we did not forget His Torah, we did not forget the Rabbanon. Kama chayovim anu l'shabeach l'Hashem. How much we have to praise Hashem. Al nes nifla kazeh. On this wondrous miracle that we still have the Torah. What was the darkest day in the history of the Jewish people? The Navi says, the Navi Yeshaya, number 15. The Chikisi Lashem, I await God, Hamaster Panav Mibes Yaakov, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, Vikivisi Lai, and I hope to him. The Jewish people say that we wait for Hashem who hides his face from us. Says Rashi, Ein Lecha Nevua Kasha, there is no more disastrous, difficult prophecy, Ka'isa Shah Sha'amar Moshe, than the moment Moshe said that God is letting us know that there will be a day that He will hide from us. The worst day in the history of the Jewish people is when they got a report. God says, one day, I'm going to hide from you. And you're not going to see me. You won't know where I am. You won't recognize me. But on that day, God promised that this document, this Shira, will testify as a witness that despite the darkness and the difficulty in recognizing me, you will never forget the Torah. Lo yishachach mi pi zarai. Take a look at number 12. V'hoya ki simtsena oisai ra'ois rabbis. It will be when you will find terrible evils, the tzarais and difficulties. V'ansa hashira hazois lefan of la'ed. This song will testify as a witness. Ki lo yishachach mi pi zarai. You will never forget the Torah. Look at the next pasuk in the Navi. Hine anoichi, behold I, the hayoladim and the children, asher nasan li, that God gave me, la'oisai sulamayfsim. The children will be the sign and the wonder. Says Rashi, who are these children that will be a sign and a wonder? Rashi says, heim talmidim, the students of Torah, will be, who are beloved like children, will be a monument and a testimony that the Torah will endure forever. In other words, if you wanted to know, was there ever a Roman Empire? I don't know, if you go to Rome today, you'll see a statue of Nero Caesar. You know, he's in white stone, so I guess he once existed because he's a statue. And was there ever a Titus? I don't know, Titus made an arch. And how do we know there's a God in Israel? We don't need statues. And we don't need arches. The Navi says, when students will be learning Torah after 2,000 years, that is the greatest testimonial, monument, edus, that there's a God in Israel. And the Navi is promising that the biggest consolation for the Jewish people is the continuous study of Torah throughout the generations. The Talmidei HaYeshivos are the ois and the moifes. If you wanted to know, you know, sometimes people say, if God would only perform a miracle for me, if God would only split the sea, I would come on time for Shacharis. But until then, I will, you know, we'll take it easy. If God would only, you know, kill the firstborn enemy, then I'll start learning every day. But not until I see a wonder and a miracle, then I'll have a chilled out approach to Torah mitzvahs. The Navi says, you want a wonder, you want a sign, you want a miracle. If there are Jewish people studying the same Torah after 2,000 years, that is a greater miracle than the splitting of the sea. You want a miracle? God is making miracles for us much greater than the miracles of the Exodus. And Rav Aaron Cutler, in many of his writings in the Mishnas Rav Aaron in Chelek Aleph, page Lamed Gimel, Chelek Gimel, page Yodalad, he points out that Talmidim who are learning in the yeshiva, aside from their fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, they are the living testimony to the divine hand of providence in the history of the Jewish people. So, Nachamu, Nachamu, what's the consolation? What is the consolation? Our temples were destroyed. Our families were massacred. Every country we've been in, we've been hounded. Right? Obviously, America is going to be different, right, than every other country we've ever been in, obviously. Because, you know, America is going to be the exception to the rule. Every other country we were in, get out, and you're happy if you were able to get out with the shirt on your back. But of course, in America, we're going to be here forever, bekavod, with big houses, and comfort, and respect. America's different. Why would America be like every other country we were ever in our history? Why should America be like every other instance that we've ever experienced? Just pointing that out. But what is the nechama for the Jewish people in the aftermath of Tisha B'Av? We read 45 kinnis. I mean, the annals of Jewish history are unparalleled in the history of any other nation. What exactly is our nechama? And then we say, okay, the 10th is over? Forget about it. Don't even think about it. You have to eat fleishes. I don't want to hear that somebody had pizza tonight for supper. The night after Tisha B'Av, you have to have a burger. You have to eat steak. Nobody should dare eat milchik a day after Tisha B'Av. Because you have to be consoled. Why? Because the Navi said, console, console. Oh, that good. That makes me feel so much better because the Navi said, console, console. What is the consolation? Says the Sfas Emes, the consolation is the Torah. It's like we say in the Slichos, Ho'ir HaKodesh V'HaMachoizos, Ho'ya L'Cherpa U'Levizos. The holy city and its provinces is utterly destroyed and disgraced. V'chol machamadeha and all the treasures of Jerusalem, tevuos uganuzos, is drowned and hidden. Ve'ein shir rak haTorah hazos. But we have one thing left. There is one thing that we have, and that item is so miraculous that it is actually more miraculous than the miracles of Mitzrayim. And that, Rav Shach says, is predicted beforehand when God said, Hine anoichi koyres bris neged kol amcha esen neflois asher lo nivru b'chol arz b'chol agoyim. God is saying, I will do a miracle for you greater than any miracle that I ever did. That is the nechama. The nechama is the eternity of our Torah. That is the consolation of Shabbos Nachamu. I would humbly suggest, you know, I always wondered, we lay in Va'aschanan. Va'aschanan is the Parsha, and randomly we pick a Haftorah, Nachamu, that has nothing to do with the Parsha, but it's the week after Tisha B'Av, so we read a Haftorah of consolation. But not like it's connected to the Parsha, no. What's the consolation of Nachamu, Nachamu? The consolation is Kabbalah HaTorah. The Torah is the consolation. So the reading, the Torah readings, perfect Haftorah is Nachamu, Nachamu. It's not a random Haftorah. It's not unconnected to the Torah reading. The Torah reading itself is the Nechama. The Torah reading is the consolation, and the Navi is saying, I want you to know that this Torah reading, it will be eternal. This is your consolation. That is the consolation of Shabbos Nachamu. The gift of the Torah and the eternity of the Torah. So what's that got to do with Tu B'Av? Why would we celebrate Tu B'Av on Shabbos Nachamu? Ready for this? So one of the big celebrations of Tu B'Av, it's the day they stop chopping wood for the Mizbeach. Woo! Sounds like a really exciting time. Let's celebrate, let's party! They stop chopping the wood! What could be more exciting than that? I mean, what could be a greater cause of celebration? No, Sammy. Let's go, you know, let's go out, have a big suda, simcha. We'll dance. Why? They stop chopping wood. Now, by the way, why did they stop chopping wood? Because the sun got weaker. Oh, the summer's over. Let's celebrate. Yeah, that's also, that makes a lot of sense. Says Rabbeinu Gershom in Baba Basra. Now, here's the deal. For the whole summer, they're chopping wood every day. Now, how long did it take? 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Guess what they couldn't do during those 15 to 30 minutes? They couldn't learn Torah. Yeah, but they were doing a mitzvah. They were chopping wood for the Mizbeach. Friends, let me tell you something. There is no mitzvah that even remotely comes close in magnitude to Limud HaTorah. Limud HaTorah is qualitatively, quantitatively superior to any other mitzvah. Just give you an example. What's halacha? You have a pair of tzitzis. It's old, it's worn out, it's frayed. What do you do with it? You throw in the garbage. Halachically, you have to throw in the garbage. It doesn't have any kedusha. Okay, it's not so nice, so you put it with clean recyclables, whatever, but that's a chumrah. Me'ikra din, you could throw in the garbage. Nizrakim, the Gemara says. What about a shofar? You blew the shofar for 100 years. You blew 1 year for the Belzer Rebbe, the next year for the Spinker Rebbe, the next year for the Skvera Rebbe, then the Satmar Rebbe, and then the Babava Rebbe, and then the... fine. This is the holiest shofar ever. And then you finish. What do you do with it? Throw in the trash. Throw in the bin behind the house. Why? Because a mitzvah only has kedusha when you're involved in doing the mitzvah. Once you finish with the mitzvah, it has no kedusha. Lulav. You finish shaking the lulav. What could you do with it? I know people have a chumrah. It's based on the ramah. You burn it with the chametz. Me'yikar adin. There's nothing wrong if a person throws in the garbage. It's not the nicest thing. It's not usser. What about tefillin? You have tefillin. You're done with it. Oh, you got to bury it. You got to bury the tefillin. What about the straps connected to the tefillin? Oh, you got to bury the straps. What about the box that the tefillin was in? You got to bury the box. I understand. What about the mezuzah case? Got to bury a mezuzah case. Why do you have to bury a mezuzah case and the pair of tzitzis you could throw in the garbage? The answer is because a tzitzis is only an item of a mitzvah. An item of a mitzvah only has kedusha so long as you're doing the mitzvah. When you finish the mitzvah, there's no kedusha. But tefillin had parshios of Torah in it. Torah has eternal kedusha. And the straps connected to the Torah have eternal kedusha. And the box that housed the Torah has eternal kedusha. Because Torah's kedusha far surpasses any other mitzvah. By the way, Gentile, an Akum, an Oyved Koychavim Mazalois, no chiv of kvura. Why? Because they don't learn Torah, they only do mitzvah. Nizrakim, they don't have to be buried. Yisrael, you have to bury a Jew, because he learned Torah. What about a Jew who never learned Torah? The Malach taught him Torah. Every Jew learned Torah. Anything associated with Torah has eternal kedusha. So on the day they stopped chopping wood for the Mizbeach, on Tu B'Av, they had an extra 15 to 30 minutes to learn Torah. The joy of Tu B'Av is extra time to be able to learn Torah. What do you mean? It's not like the guy that we were wasting our time. We were involved in preparing wood for the Mizbeach to bring Karbanos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Karbanos, Tefillah, all that stuff is great. It doesn't hold a candle to Limud HaTorah. And therefore the joy of Tu B'Av is the joy of extra time to learn Torah. Furthermore, the Gemara continues. Why didn't they chop the wood anymore from Tu B'Av and on? Because the sun wasn't so strong. There was less daylight hours. The day starts getting shorter on Tu B'Av. So what do you mean it starts getting shorter on June 21st? It slowly gets starting. But on Tu B'Av, the days start moving. You know, the clocks really starts moving. The days get much shorter. The sun is much weaker. Oh, the nights get longer. The Gemara tells us the night was created for Talmud Torah. Says the Gemara, Mikan ve'elach, from Tu B'Av and on, de Moisif Yosef. Since there are more nighttime hours, whoever adds to their learning will have longer years. Udaloi Moisif, if someone does not add to their learning, Yeyah Seif, they will be taken away from the world early. Bottom line is, Tu B'Av marks a new time of the year. More nighttime hours for Limud HaTorah. So there are two facets of Tu B'Av. Number one, they stop chopping the wood. More time to learn. Number two, the days are shorter. Nights are longer. More time to learn. So the simcha of Tu B'Av, what's the joy of Tu B'Av? The joy of enhanced, increased, magnified, elevated Talmud Torah. And what's the consolation of Shabbos Nachamu? Says the Sfas Emes, Nachamu, Nachamu, B'Torah. The consolation of the Jewish people is that after 2,000 years, despite all of our suffering, the greatest nechama for the Jew is the continued existence of the Torah, observance of the Torah, adherence to the Torah. The fact that after 2,000 years, not even one letter of the Torah is missing. So Shabbos Nachamu, Simcha, is the consolation of the greatest miracle in history, greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the continued existence of the Torah. It's a miracle that Rav Shach says, Ribbono Shel Olam predicted beforehand. Neged kol amcha es en eflois asher loy nivru b'chal ha'aretz v'chal ha'goyim. Therefore, the perfect shidduch for Tu B'Av is to celebrate the joy of Tu B'Av, of enhanced, increased Limud HaTorah on Shabbos Nachamu, whose consolation is the eternity, the glory of the eternity of our Torah HaKadosha. Hence, the Ritva says that because Tu B'Av is such a happy occasion, celebrate it on Shabbos Nachamu. What kind of time is it to celebrate Tu B'Av on Shabbos Nachamu? The answer is Tu B'Av's joy is the joy of increased time for Limud HaTorah, which is appropriately celebrated on Shabbos Nachamu. What is our consolation? Nachamu, Nachamu, Ahami. What's the consolation? Consolation is B'Torah, the Torah HaKadosha, which is its existence, is, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, a greater miracle than the miracles of the Exodus and Eretz Yisrael and the Midbar. And as the Golus progresses, amazingly, you would think, okay, we're going to slacken off in the Torah, and knowledge of the Torah is going to slacken off. As the Golus increases, there are more Svarim on every detail of the Torah. Every minutia of Torah is explained, expounded, exploding. So the miracle of the existence of the Torah, it becomes greater and greater, and we see Hashem's divine hand in our history even more, and we await the great day. We are bolstered and consoled and strengthened by this great miracle, and it gives us the fortitude to await the great day when the Ribbono Shel Olam will reveal to us another dimension of the Torah, as Rashi says in the beginning of Shir HaShirim, that Hashem will teach us the secrets of the Torah. We ask Hashem, Yishakeni minashika ispihu, which Rashi in Shir HaShirim says means, God again will gather us at a great gathering, and He will again speak to us face to face like He did at Sinai, and He will kiss us from the kisses of His mouth, which means He will speak to us panim el panim, because the first time around He only taught us the revealed part of the Torah, and He will give us even further insight into the Torah. This is what Nosuch Sfarad says, Yashmeinu baracham of sheinis la'enei kolchai lemar hein ga'alti eschem acharis kereishis. Hashem will redeem us the way He did the first time. May we be zoicha to that great day. B'mher v'yaminu. Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi.
You're welcome.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.